In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Now that sounded good back here, but up that back here I didn't hear anything. So let's try that again. All right. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Much better. I stand before you this morning because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I have to confess, there are other things I could be doing this morning. Another life I could be living. Another profession I could have had. Different hobbies, pleasures in life. But for one thing, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. My life, like millions of others, has been totally transformed because of the living presence of Jesus Christ. On that morning, almost 2,000 years ago, the two Marys had gone to the tomb where Jesus had been buried by Joseph of Arimathea. These women who had followed Jesus for years, they probably cooked his meals, cleaned his clothes, provided funds for various needs. They were dedicated, loyal servants of the Messiah. And then to their surprise and horror, they saw him arrested. They watched as Roman whips lashed his back and people mocked him as he carried his cross up Golgotha. They saw with their own eyes the nails driven into his hands and feet and the cross raised up with their Messiah, their Lord, their Master, hung up to die. They watched as he shouted out, "It is finished," and then died, yielding up his spirit, taking his last breath. They saw the soldier put the spear in his side, up into his heart to make sure that he was dead. They'd come there where Joseph had carved a tomb, a freshly hewn tomb, and they saw where he wrapped the body and laid Jesus in this tomb for burial. And Mark 15, 47 tells us they were there when Joseph rolled the big stone in front of the entrance to seal the tomb. Well, now it's the third day. And the two Marys are back at the tomb on this first day of the week, Sunday, just after sunrise. And Mark tells us that they were on the way to the tomb. They were bringing spices that they had prepared for to finish the burial process. It had been cut short because of the Sabbath. And Mark 16:3 tells us they were wondering aloud, who's going to move the big stone so we can get in the tomb? And they look up and they see this big heavy stone has been rolled back up the little ramp, back out of the way, and the tomb is open. And going inside, they find an angel in a white garment sitting there. "Do not be alarmed," he says. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him." And although the angel tells them not to be alarmed and afraid, they were anyway. They were stunned, so much so that they were trembling. And they fled the tomb, astonished and afraid, just not sure what to believe. Now this morning we could discuss the history of this event, the witnesses, the evidence for the resurrection, the impact that Jesus had on people during his resurrection appearances. We could discuss the spiritual power and influence his followers had on the world and still continue to have on the world. We could discuss the martyrdoms of his disciples who saw him when all they had to do was say, "You know, this wasn't really true. We just made it all up," and they would have been spared. But in this time that we find ourselves, in the midst of a pandemic which has killed over 500,000 people here in the States and millions worldwide, the economic upheaval we find ourselves in where complete industries have been wiped out and others have been having to recreate themselves, where we see a literal moral collapse in our nation, and in spite of available vaccines and lower numbers, fear, anxiety, loneliness, aloneness have overtaken millions of people. So on this Easter day, I would like to offer you three truths of encouragement that we can hold on to because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he was still dead, if his death on the cross would have been the end, then these would not be true. However, since God raised Jesus from the dead, his love and his compassion are now accessible to all who come to him by faith. Through his own action, he helped us, even though we were in our sins, to do what we could not do for ourselves as human beings. So truth number one, since Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, those who have faith in him receive forgiveness. Why is this important? Well, all kinds of reasons. Guilt, self-condemnation, hopelessness. But the main reason is that our sin alienates us from God. It separates us from the Lord. The whole purpose of Jesus' death on the cross was that he might make the sacrifice that you and I could not make, that we might be forgiven, that our sin-filled separation from God might be removed. When we remain in a state of unforgiveness, we're alienated from God and we're not fully alive. And it's just not alienation while we are on earth, but it's alienation for all eternity because of our sins. And this is why Jesus came in the first place. Do you remember the Christmas message when Joseph was appeared to, an angel appears to him, and Joseph's trying to figure out what was going on. Do you remember that whole story? And the angel gives him a word. He says, "And you will call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." It's Matthew 1:21. So right there at the beginning, it says what his purpose was. When Jesus asked his followers to start having communion in remembrance of him, what we call the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, he took bread and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And then he took wine, and as Matthew 26:28 tells us, he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Poured out for what? The forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Peter, in explaining to unbelievers about Jesus in Acts chapter 10, we heard part of this read this morning. He said in verse 39, Peter says, "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God has raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen." And verse 42 says, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins in his name." So what do people receive who believe? Forgiveness of sins. The Apostle John, in his first letter to the early followers of Jesus, said it this way, "My dear children, I write to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." And the Apostle Paul, in explaining the resurrection to the Christians in the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." The Word of God tells us that since Jesus rose from the dead, that we have God's forgiveness in our lives. Our sins are wiped away. Like a chalkboard that has writing, and you use the eraser and you erase it. It's gone. That's what he's offered us. And many people are totally surprised by this. They cannot believe that God would forgive their sins without them having to do something. Well, there is one thing you have to do. You have to repent. Change your mind. Believe it. Exercise your faith. Repent. The Apostle Peter explained it this way in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He was approached by, actually he was given a sermon, and the people that approached during this sermon said, what must we do? And he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins." Since Jesus has risen from the dead, those who have faith in him have the forgiveness of their sins. And Jesus' resurrection is a confirmation of what he did on the cross. That all of that was true. That Jesus died on the cross in love for you and for me. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So a question for you to think about this morning. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? The second truth. Since Jesus is risen from the dead, those who have faith in him receive eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is the ability to have a personal relationship with God, to know him. As Jesus described it in John 17, 3, when Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. To have fellowship with him, to be able to have communion with the God of the universe. And this relationship, this eternal life, begins here on planet Earth and continues for all eternity. That's the name, eternal life. The resurrection of Jesus affirms that life does not end on earth. There is another realm. There's another sphere of reality. And there we continue to live and to know him even after we have left these physical bodies. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or as Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. When a person, you or me, come to Jesus Christ by faith, that person's life is changed. And not just in the present tense, here and now, but in the future tense as well. God wants us to know that death is no longer the end. It becomes the door to a different and a deeper life with God. We call it heaven. The Apostle John says it this way in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has the life, but whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, those who have faith in him are given eternal life. Now, Christians throughout the years have understood this, and this is why they've gone beyond self to help those in need. Love your neighbor as yourself, and do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Have inspired followers of Jesus to help those in need, even at the risk of their own lives. In the second and third centuries, when the plagues hit the Roman Empire, people with any type of symptom were literally just kicked out of their houses, left in the streets to die, out of fear. Those Christians in that day did what no one else would do. They loved them, and they provided medical care and hygiene as they understood it at the time to those who were sick. Risking their own safety to provide and administer God's love. They knew they had eternal life. But believers did not do this or teach this carelessly. Martin Luther, the great leader of the Reformation, reminded Christians in their care for others that they need to keep in mind the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment's what? Thou shalt not murder. He expanded this to mean also not to endanger others through our own negligence or recklessness. In an essay regarding a plague that they experienced in his day, Luther reminds believers that they should not tempt God and encourages them to follow the quarantine orders, to fumigate their houses, and to take precautions to avoid spreading the sickness. Nevertheless, the followers of Jesus continued to help people in need. When this pandemic began and we were in total shutdown mode and no one was leaving their home and One of our diocesan clergy had a dilemma. He oversees a street chapel in Chattanooga where they minister to the homeless, the needy, and the sick. And all his volunteers were locked into their homes. Who was going to care for these people in the midst of the pandemic? No one. So without any volunteers, he and a few others continued to feed and to care for the homeless. And there were many to feed and to care for. Now, were he and these early Christians throughout the ages who cared for people regardless of the danger being frivolous and negligent? Some might argue so. But they understood that life does not end here. That for those who believe, God gives eternal life, life forever. And they don't have to live in the fear of losing what we have here. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And that applies to the women too. Yet shall she live. Edwin Hoskins writes in his commentary on that chapter in the Bible, says this: faith in Jesus overcomes death. There is no limitation to the power of Christian faith. Every believer is removed from the possibility of death, and he shall live though he die. Since Jesus is risen from the dead, those who have faith in him have eternal life. So another question for you to reflect on this morning. Do you have eternal life? And then number three. Since Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, we can know that God is with us even now. He's with us. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he taught his disciples that since he was going away, he'd be sending them a helper. An advocate, a counselor. The Greek word is paraclete, literally one just like himself. He was going to send. And this is how he said it in John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When a person comes to faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, comes to literally indwell the believer, bringing the reality of the presence of God into that person's life. Jesus, the living presence of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, literally indwells you and me when we come to him by faith. This is what Jesus referred to in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, you must be born of the Spirit, or are born again, made fully alive. God is present with us, and even in all the encounters we face, he is with us and in us. Hebrews 13:5 says, God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's with us in the midst of our friendships, our health issues, our financial conditions, our job situation, our relationships, our fears, and all of our challenges. Even in the midst of this pandemic and all the chaos we see going around us, he is with us. He's dwelling with his people. He's with us in the presence of his Holy Spirit, and he has not abandoned us. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 28, for God works all things out for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Since Jesus is risen from the dead, we can know that he is with us even now, working in us and through us for his good pleasure. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He promises to walk with us and talk with us along all the paths and journeys of this life. So another question this morning. Do you know that he's with you? Do Do you know that He's in you? So three truths for you to remember this morning. Since Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, those who have faith in Him have forgiveness. Since Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, those who have faith in Him have eternal life. And since Jesus is risen from the dead, those who have faith in Him can know that He is with us and in us. If you've never asked Jesus into your life to forgive you of your sins, to lead and to guide you in your life, to fill you with His Holy Spirit, what better time than now, Easter, this morning, to ask Him into your life, to ask Him to forgive you of your sins? Perhaps you're listening to this message this morning and you've walked away from following the Lord. You've kind of put Him on the shelf. You've kind of gone your own way and began to live your life your way rather than God's way. What better time than this morning than to make things right with Him, to return to the God who loves you and cares for you and wants so much for you? It's Easter, and God wants to bless you and fill you with His presence. But so oftentimes we say, okay, God, I hear what you said, but, and we just put the barrier up. So we're going to go to prayer, and I just want to invite you, if there's anything between you and the Lord, that you just bring that to Him even now. And if you've never asked Him into your life, what better time than to do that now? Let's pray together and quietly. Just invite you to pray in your own way before the Lord. Let me close with a summary prayer. O God, our King, by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the first day of the week, you conquered sin, put death to flight, and gave us the hope of everlasting life. Redeem all our days by this victory. Forgive our sins. Banish our fears. Make us bold to praise you and to do your will. And steel us to wait for the consummation of your kingdom on the great last day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.